Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, by sight, you look beautiful in the unity of the Spirit of God brought together. The full family of the Trinity Baptist Church giving a frontline witness for the gospel. Thanks for your witness. I met a man who said that when the pressures of life's problems pressed upon him, he began to praise God. Curious, I asked, why? He said, because when I stretch into the greatness of God, my life gets right-sized, and my problems come into view in light of Him. Mary Magdalene wanted her life to be right-sized, and so she would stand along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where you see this photograph now, near the town of Magdala, by which she was known to come from. She wondered why she was born, and she had hopes in this world. But in a wrong-sized world, her life got wrong-sized, and she prayed that it could be turned right side up. And so it was the presence of Christ came into her life after she had already compromised, leaning into what she thought would give her some security in an insecure world, that would give her some clarity in a world of confusion. She thought if she could make a covenant with the evil one, known in scriptures as the sevenfold demon possession, then she could find some peace in a world in which she had no peace. But the thing about the evil one is the evil one never lets go once it's got hold, and the evil one just wanted more and more of Mary and never delivering on the promise until she was completely under the control of this one, and then Jesus came. And Jesus whooped up on that force of Satan and set her free. And so this story that August and Jesse read for us and that C-Mac and I are privileged to help tell this story more fully is the story of the transformed life. And that Mary, upon her transformation, was grateful from that day forward. Gratitude is a sign of discipleship. So when 18 of you gathered in the southwest section of San Antonio yesterday and helped to build a house for Vanessa and her two sons, Adrian and Sergio, Vanessa teared up as we prayed together, as you spoke blessings into her life. She was filled with the gratitude of a new beginning that in part the people of Trinity were making possible for her in light of Christ.
How do you define greatness? Our culture has so many different voices that are trying to shape for us what it means to be great in this world. And we can find that those voices, just as they did in Mary's day, can lead us down paths of darkness, paths that misshape our soul, that co-opt the destiny, the desires that God has for our life and our world to experience the wholeness, the fullness, the flourishing of God. Mary found her life dominated by this kind of oppression. Compromise after compromise had led her to chase after a greatness apart from God that was ego-driven and that ultimately found her life in shambles. And yet, that was not the totality of her story. She realized that God had a greatness that was greater than anything she had experienced, even at her lowest point. And she was able to step into what Dr. King reminds us of as God's greater greatness, that Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness, that he who is greatest among you will be your servant. This is now the new definition of greatness. And this definition that Mary was willing to step into began to transform her life, and not only her life, but to transform the whole world through her. Okay. Jesus will not stop announcing the good news of God's transforming love. Did you notice that in the passage, that everywhere Jesus is going, the good news of God's transformative hope and power in breaking in our world is being proclaimed in people's lives. He moves along the crowded cities and the one-stoplight towns. Jesus shares around soccer fields and coffee shops, in boardrooms and grocery stores, along the Riverwalk and the Via bus stop. Everywhere he goes, he's sharing some of God's hope and news and power for this world. It just radiates from his being, but not only from his being, but from his actions and his words. And we find this motley crew of disciples, these gathered believers and followers of Jesus that are with him. There are some of the usual suspects. Like, we expect to see the 12, which are named there, but then there's this mention of Mary, of Magdala, and Joanna, and Susanna, and the many other women. And I don't know what your understanding of the crew that followed Jesus was like, but often, if I'm honest, when I picture it, I kind of picture sort of like a men's retreat. Jesus and these 12 dudes going everywhere, and yet Luke is quick to correct the record for us, to remind us that there were women who had been called into this gospel proclaiming movement of Jesus, that the kingdom of God is here. It's in our midst. We do not have to let the powers that rule our world shape our understanding. Instead, we can step into a vision that is larger and greater than any this world has known. We can be part of a new community, a new humanity that God is giving birth into in this world. And in that community, Luke is quick to point us to these women who are on the front lines of ministry. They are embodying this servant spirit, because it says that they've really given to economically the needs of this entire caravan as they're going around. These would have been independent, entrepreneurial kind of women that had the means from their own bank account to give fully to what God was doing. And along with Jesus in every age, there are those of us who are called and graced and given the commission to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and Rescuer and Leader of the new humanity that God is bringing forth even in our midst. Sarah Ballou, CBF field personnel, part of our global mission offering and connection, is working in mainland China. And she recently told the story of Ben, someone who had come to a conversational English class. And he had been doing that on Tuesdays and Thursdays for a few weeks and eventually decided to check out their conversational English Bible study. And she tells of the joy that came into her life when Ben walked over to the table where they had set out the Bibles, and he held the Bible in his hand and he said, "My first time to see a Bible." She was filled with joy, and he has come back again and again, and they continue to pray, and I'm sure our prayers join now with them for all that God is unfolding in Ben's life, all that he is learning of this Jesus who is Redeemer, Messiah, and Lord. It's a beautiful thing when we can invite people to the table. If you look at Jesus' entourage, we do see that there is Mary, and she had overcome incredible hardship and incredible pain. Life had not gone well for her. And yet she was not giving in to the idea that because her life had had false starts, because she had hit some dead ends, that this now defined the rest of her future. She didn't believe that her past had to define her present, and she believed God for the hope of a future that was yet unfolding. Luke chooses this interesting word. Typically in the Gospels, when we talk of spirits being cast out, we say that they are cast out, and yet he used this Greek word that is the same word we derive therapy or healing from. She's had this amazing healing from the brokenness of her life. She hasn't just tried to divorce herself from it. She's understood it. She's reflected on it. She's let God shine light into the darkness of her experience. And she now, because of the past that she has, is propelled forward into the greatness of God's future. And there are many others with Mary, aren't there? So many of us in our great cloud of witnesses and that are even gathered with us today. Junia, the apostle mentioned in Romans, Felicitas and Perpetua, some of the very earliest post-New Testament credible leaders in the church. Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Sojourner Truth, Lottie Moon. There are a huge host of powerful gospel proclaiming voices that speak to us through the centuries past. I was recently in Waco at Pinewood Coffee Shop. If you're ever in Waco, they're not paying me to say this. I highly recommend it. And as you would imagine, Pinewood smells of pine. It's just this beautiful, like, man, I could be camping right now. And since I do more of the glamping than camping anyways, it works for me. I'm really just in Waco, but I'm smelling Pinewood. It's great. And I met with a friend who, though he is Protestant, is just so fascinated by the great saints, the believers that have gone before us. And he said, you know, sometimes I'm so envious of our Catholic brothers and sisters and of our Orthodox brothers and sisters because they have such a rich tradition. And I said, I love that tradition. I appreciate it. But I also appreciate that in our Protestant understanding, we are able to not only value the tradition of those that have gone before us, but we are also able to understand that many times the tradition that we have been handed has come from only certain regions of the world, has listened to mostly male voices and not women's voices, has listened mostly to people that are not people of color. And that greatness, God's greatness, which involves all of the people who God has breathed into this earth, is inclusive of all of us. It invites all of us to the table to find the redemption that Jesus Christ brings so that in light of him, we can be part of this new community. I was recently in Portland, Oregon, and had the chance to be with some friends that are incredibly loving to me. Blair, who you see here, is a graduate of Alamo Heights, and Jimmy, who you see, is a graduate of Bernie High School. Strider the dog, I'm not sure yet. Give him some time. But they have deep South Texas connections and roots, and yet I love every time I go visit them, the most amazing guest that they invite to their table and into their home, the most amazing people from all over the world that they invite to live in their house. They are modeling this good news of Jesus Christ in words, in their lifestyle, and in their actions. Jesus invites each and every one of us to do this, to understand that God's faithfulness empowers us for a faithfulness, even in some of the most trying and challenging times of our life.
This is our invitation, to step into the greatness of our life because of the greatness of God, not self-created, but created from the beginning of time by God's power, with a vision that you would live, that you would serve, that you would claim the full promise of the DNA that he has established inside your soul. Be who you are in light of Christ. C.S. Lewis put it this way, that you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start today to begin to change the ending. To begin to change the ending today is exactly what Mary Magdalene did. Though her life was filled with regret and shame and guilt, Christ buried that and said, now come and follow me. And she did. And in doing so, she stood with Jesus in his ministry. She stood with Christ at the cross. She stood for Jesus by the tomb where his body had been buried. And when she ran to gather the disciples and tell them the good news, she didn't know it was good news. She could just say that the grave is empty. Where have they put Christ? And upon her return to the empty tomb, she was the first one in history by which the resurrected Lord revealed himself to her. For her eyes of faith to see what was right before her, to see his greatness in a moment of history that has created greatness for all time, the resurrection of life over death. God trusted this Mary Magdalene, and she became then a truth teller into the lives of others. It was in the middle of the Middle Ages when people like Peter Abelard said, now the word apostle means to be sent. There's the small a and the capital A. The capital A is the other 12 who became called out as followers of Christ. But that Mary M. was an apostle to the apostles, she went when she found the resurrected Christ who had spoken to her, she went back to tell him and to tell the world that there is no reason to fear what the world can do because Christ has overcome the world, that life conquers death and grace conquers sin. And hope whoops up on despair just like Christ had whooped up on Satan. And she was the embodiment of that message and the promise of her life. She said that you can trust God when you don't know that answer. Not only have we been hit by hurricanes of Harvey and Irma and Marie, but two major earthquakes have hit our country, our brothers and sisters through the South and Mexico. And as people were going through the rubble, rescue workers trying to see if there was life, there was a rescue system put in place where people making makeshift large poster boards that said Silencio with a held fist. And whenever that poster board would be raised up, everyone got quiet. Quiet with a fill of hope. So the rescue workers could try to hear the sound of life, the sound of a voice underneath the rubble, so they would know where to go and bring life back from the jaws of death. So it is that God listens to the desperate voices in our souls. He is listening to be able to hear like he did Mary Magdalene and to be able to claim his victory where there only seems to be defeat. Who would have thought it that Mary Magdalene would be the fourth major character of the New Testament that has paintings painted after her, after Jesus, after Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John the Baptist, and maybe also Paul, that there is Mary as a major figure in the middle of Christian art. Who would have thought that we would, 2,000 years later, be listening into her story that inspire us in a 21st century world about how to live our lives? No one but Jesus. No one but the power of Christ, seeing that converting moment of what would be possible. And today you can go along the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, and you can see an archaeological dig underway in Magdala for one reason, because a famous woman once lived there and came from there. A woman who had lost her way found her way. And because she lived in an era when there were no last names, people were known by what they did or where they came from, Magdala, or referred to as the woman of the seven demons. So today, this archaeological dig is now gathering tourists from around the world to walk the streets of that early civilization and hear afresh the stories about a people who once lived there. And one of those people was the name of Mary M. And so it is that God's love comes to us, that we may know our story to tell our story. That just like that man by which I began my part of the sermon, who in the midst of the problems of life began to praise God, not because he didn't feel the pressure of the problems, but because he knew he could only see the pathway forward if he began to see beyond the problems by the greatness of God. And so when Mary heard Jesus call out her name in the graveyard, what she then saw was resurrection. She saw it as a place of life, not a place of death. She saw it as a place by which today, by the millions every year, people go back to the garden tomb and see the remembrance of the sign of God's power. But it's not enough to simply point backwards. It's the power to point to today, that this Christ is with us now. And just now he is calling out your name. Calling out your name for you to hear him say to you, why do you look for the living among the dead? I am here. I am in your midst. Mary Osborne and Greg just returned to Mary's hometown of Refugio, Texas. yesterday, to do research also for us about future projects that we may do in helping the rebuilding of that town and the Christian work that is there, to see where a place that has been devastated by storm, but a people of hope filled with the joy of what can be, and that there are people that will join them in that. We know we live in a scary world. Our call by knowing our story and telling our story is that our anxiety level will be lower than the world's anxiety. That our anger level won't begin to register like the anger that gets registered in our world. And that we won't be using language and saying things that others are saying who haven't found the grace and the peace that Christ makes possible. That's how we may tell our story. And when someone says, don't you get it? Don't you know how crazy the world is and the problems that are there? Don't you hear about a wild conversation going on between North Korea and the United States? Don't you know about the fussiness that's going on in our country and people are trying to find a way forward? Sure, I hear those voices. But I hear a greater voice. I hear a greater voice that's stretching us into this greater reality. Simak and I stand here not as people of hope who haven't seen the darkness, who haven't seen the troubles, who don't understand the pain and the depth in our world. Just this morning we have prayed. We prayed with many people individually along the hallways of our church and in the sanctuary, people who have come to say, I just need to tell you what's going on. And so we lift that brother or sister into this full presence of Christ. And so this invitation right now is extended for every one of us today. Every one of us today to know that His promise is for you. There's a greatness to your future. It is set by the path of Christ. Travel that pathway by trusting in Him. Let us pray together. This is your story, Lord. We have come on bending our souls into your presence, lifting our arms with a sense of praise and wonder, that we may be able to let ourselves be stretched all the more by your greatness. We thank you that in the unity of your Spirit, we claim the power of unity made possible by you, and that Mary Magdalene was healed, made whole. And so we come today for our lives to be made whole in Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.